Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday are rambling about those Los Angeles Rams. Ramble on. Hi, how are ya? Welcome to another episode of Ramblings with the Golden Child, Golden Man, Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. I'm Doc Holliday. He's Isaac Bruce. Isaac, how art thou, brethren?
Hey, what's up, Doc, man? Just to let you know, man, I'm real excited. I'm excited football is happening, professional football, that is. I'm excited about training camps, excited about the Los Angeles Rams. But I just would be remiss, Doc, not to start this show and give a shout out to, I think, a guy that just showed everybody why he's a superstar. One Dame Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, man. We talk about a dude who put 50 points in back-to-back games and gave him 61 last night. Pat Riley, you got to find a way to get him down there to the Miami Heat, man. That's all I'm going to say about it, Doc. But I think a lot of football players can learn a lot from this dude, man. Number one, from the way his confidence just soars. He's a small man, but he plays big. Now, let me tell you that. And he's a leader on his team. So, big shout out to Dame Lillard, man. Big time.
Hey, I'm with you on that, man. A huge salute to Dame Dollar, man. And, you know, we actually can thank a Los Angeles basketball team for kind of pissing him off, man, when he played the Clippers. Pat Beverly and Paul George kind of clowning him, man, because he missed a couple of free throws. But, yeah, man, 51 points in one game, comes back and hits 61. In the next game, man, he probably didn't push my Memphis Grizzlies right up out of the NBA playoffs. But, hey, man, shoot, a huge shout-out to Dame Dollar, man. Dude don't get enough credit, man. You're right, man. He's a straight baller. We could actually use him on the Lakers, though, man. You know, get him on the Lakers, man. Trade away about five dudes, man. You just play with three dudes against five, man. LeBron, AD, and Dame Dollar, man. We'll just go to war like that. But anyway, a lot to talk about on today's show. Hard Knocks Los Angeles with our Los Angeles Rams and no one's Chargers debuted on HBO this week. It was pretty good. Training camp continues and things are about to get a little more intense. Jared Goff says he wants the Rams to have 3 1,000-yard receivers this season. Now, is that feasible? And better yet, is that the best game plan to get us a Super Bowl championship? Also, speaking of Goff, why people hate on my man so much? And Jalen Ramsey, he is a hater. He hates on every single receiver that he faces. J-Ram hates for them to catch anything while he's covering them. Dude is great. What makes him great? We discussed with the Pro Football Hall of Fame receiver Isaac Bruce because he would have had to face dudes like Jalen Ramsey. But the top of the talk, Isaac, Hard Knocks debuted episode one, man. What you think about it, man? You like it?
I got to be honest. First of all, I mean, I think it's the first time that I've ever sat down on purpose and watched Hard Knocks on HBO. I think, you know, it's a great concept. It allows people who normally wouldn't see what happens in a NFL locker room to see what goes on. I mean, from the camaraderie of the guys, from the clowning around to the serious conversations that you have behind the scenes with some of the executives of teams, the head coaches, the general managers making decisions and things of that nature, and how players react to certain situations. So from that standpoint, I think it's really, really good, man. It's just a different perspective that fans get an opportunity to see what happens behind the scene. First episode, I thought it was really, really interesting. You know, you got your stars, you got your guys who are going to be rising to the top as we speak. I mean, guys like the important people, Mr. Reggie Scott. I mean, he's the VP of the sports medicine and performance for the Rams. He's one of the most important guys because he's going to be handling all of the COVID-19 protocols, how and when guys get tested, and making sure that guys don't miss tests. So, and God forbid he has one of the players get infected and it happens to run through the team. So he's going to be responsible for all of that, man, making sure that these guys who come up infected are quarantined the way they should be and make sure he's doing his best to keep everyone else safe. He and Sophie Harlan, just the director of football operations. So I think the combination of those two plus head coach Sean McVay, making sure everybody's on the same page, man. You know, HBO, I mean, it shows you everything, how the social distancing is happening and guys being 6 feet apart, even in meeting rooms. I think it's really, really nice that the Rams have what they have, the ability to have indoor, outdoor facilities, man. It's kind of like, you know, it's big time different from the way it was in St. Louis, because if we were to have some outdoor meetings in St. Louis, we would be crying to go inside because of the heat.
Yeah,
but
man,
to be in that 70, 72 degrees, I mean, that bodes for, you know, after a hard practice, you know, guys sitting in those chairs and just falling asleep watching those mountains and having that 70 degree weather, man. It's all about being, you know, comfortable being uncomfortable. So we can see that starting to happen all year long now.
And hey, that's what I saw, man. That beautiful scenery, man. I'm like, oh my gosh, man. Practicing out there, man, looking at those mountains, those hills, man, that was absolutely beautiful, man. Yeah, and some things I took away from that first episode is just like you, man. The COVID protocols that the Rams have, man, absolutely thorough. Those young Royals, man, those young men and those men and the Rams staff and personnel, man, very well taken care of, man, making sure everybody stays healthy, stays safe. I'm extremely impressed by that, man. Big dude's afraid of needles, though. I also find that out, man. It's funny, man. I seen Aaron Donald, man. He don't like watching a needle going into his arm, so he got to look away. But Isaac, wasn't dude just training a couple of years? Don't he train with, like, samurai swords, man? Cats cutting samurai swords at him. So that was funny about that, man. But AD, I get it, man. And like I said, man, the Rams just doing a lot of things to keep a lot of players safe, man. But what we did see is Rams rookie Terrell Lewis, man, contracted the COVID-19, had to go, sit at the house at the hotel or whatever, man, for a couple of weeks, can't come back. Now, a guy like that, he's drafted, you know, so he's going to make the team. But, hey, man, that sparked something in me, because I'm like, okay, if you're a rookie, or not even a rookie, somebody on the fringe trying to make the squad, you catch COVID-19 and have to leave for 10, 15 days, that's tough, man. That's pretty much over for you as far as making the squad, man. So I did notice that, man. But, you know, Hard Knocks, man, I love that first episode, man. But that is something to think about, though, man, because that COVID-19 is serious. And you see Terrell Lewis, you see he was, you know, upset. But like I said, his place on the team is solidified. But, you know, cats like, you know, who was like myself, you trying to make the squad, you get COVID, Isaac, man, and you got to leave, that's pretty much over for you.
Well, you know what? I mean, let's just be honest. I don't think his spot is solidified. I understand he's been drafted. The Rams have already invested some money into him. And hopefully he can be what they expect him to be. But, you know, it's about, you know, who's going to what a guy can do in training camp. Once again, we don't have those preseason games really to set another guy apart from someone else. So we have to see everything we can and get from a guy in practice, from the practice sessions, from the walkthroughs, how he can disseminate and take information from a meeting room and take it to a walkthrough and then take it to a practice field. And he won't have the luxury of playing preseason games. So, you know, that may be a strike against him. And for a guy to have to sit out 10 days of training camp, Doc, that is like, man, you're missing a ton of stuff. And they're trying to shy away more from, get away from the Zoom meeting. So where does that leave a guy like the linebacker, like, what's his name, Doc?
Terrell Lewis, man, from Alabama.
Lewis. Where does that leave a guy like Lewis, man? So that can be 10 days behind. So, you know, he'll be behind the gun. And we're talking about being comfortable, getting uncomfortable. These guys like what you mentioned, who are on the fringe of making the team, they really got to make sure that they walk a straight line as far as this COVID is concerned, man, and make sure they have their mask on, make sure they're practicing social distancing, making sure that others around them are practicing social distancing for the sake of, you know, being available. That is the best ability you can have, is to be available. So these guys got to make sure that they're healthy and the guys around them are following the protocols that have been set up for them.
No doubt about it, man. And what it does show as well, man, you shouted out a couple of people, man, rightfully so, because those people within the Rams organization, extremely extremely important, man. And leadership of your head coach is extremely important, man. That's something I noticed about Sean McVay, man. Good leadership, man. And the players listen to him. They seem to like him. They seem to respect him. And I can see why, man, because, you know, he has that kind of energy about him. He stays pumped up, man, but he is a younger coach. He stays pumped up, man. I love his energy, man, and he obviously knows what he's talking about, extremely smart. But that's the biggest thing, man, that he seems to have the respect and the ear and the attention of the players, and that's extremely important, man. And speaking of a player, man, you know, I mean, we heard about the little cornerback, Dante Dion, coming into the first episode. And watching him, man, you know, I see a young fella. I'm laughing at him though, Isaac, because he was talking about his locker room. You want to get into the Beverly Hills part of the Rams locker room? No, my man. I know you probably been there for a minute, but you got to kind of work your way up, man, to get to the Beverly Hills part of the locker room. But he should be happy that he just has a spot in the locker room. I mean, that dude, it's good to see dudes like that, man. You know, funny dudes like that. Full of personality, man. Just watching him last night and how he acts, does he remind you of any player that you played with that maybe you was in camp with? Because you've played with some very funny dudes, man.
Of course, Doc. I mean, I think, you know, Dante Dion, I mean, he's one of those guys. I like, you see it every training camp. And, you know, he's kind of been one of those fringe players. And they mentioned he's been, you know, going from practice squad to the active roster for a while with the Rams. And, you know, he has one of those personalities, and he has the ability to be loud. Now, here's my experience, Doc. So from watching guys like that, you know, he's wanting to get to a certain level of play. I mean, he's wanting to go to from what he called the projects, and it's amazing they still use the same names in the locker room, to the Beverly Hills. I mean, but, you know, it's a process to it, Doc, but I always believe that it starts within yourself. I mean, there are terms like the loudest guys in the locker room are always the most fearful guys in the locker room.
Yeah.
Or they're not really calm or quieted within themselves. So I think some of the best advice that, you know, that some of the people from HBO and that some of the producers allowed for us to hear is that he should take a page out of Jalen Ramsey's book. I mean, when you see guys like Jalen, when you see guys like Aaron Donald, you know, they're about their business. They have a confidence about themselves, and they know who they are on the inside. So I think once a guy like Dante Deaton and starts to get quiet on the inside, he'll start to be promoted, man. He'll start to, you know, come up the depth chart a little bit. Now here's what I'm used to seeing. At the beginning of training camp, you see guys like Dante. They're loud. They're brash. It's Hollywood. The cameras are there. It's the reason why HBO Hard Knocks are in town, because it's Los Angeles. They're the glamour team. But at the same time, you know, those type guys start to get quiet once training camp starts gets a little bit deep. Once, you know, nut cutting time is, which we call it, when that Grim Reaper starts to come around, those guys start to get quiet. But if they start to take that approach from the very beginning, Doc, and just be about football, be about learning, be about making a team. And in his case, you know, he should have a mindset of being a starter. I mean, we know there is a Jalen Ramsey there, but there is another cornerback position or side that another guy has to play. Why not it be me? So if he starts to talk to himself and is quieted himself on the inside like that, we can see a lot. We can see this guy get promoted, you know, beyond heights, man. I'd love to see that. That would be my advice to a guy like Dante, because I've seen it years. I've seen it for 16 consecutive years, Doc. Guys come in like that. They're loud. Guys start dropping off, getting cut. They start getting afraid, getting quiet. And, you know, either the guys make it or sometimes they don't make it. And they just fluctuate from practice squad to active roster.
And you make a good point, man, because every time – I mean, I know they edited, you know, they edited some things, man. A lot of his – especially his interaction with Aaron Donald, man. That was edited a lot, but – but you can see Dante's joking, Aaron Donald giving a quick giggle, man. I'm sitting down. I'm all about this business. I'm all about this work, man. I really don't have time to be playing, but I'm going to acknowledge you because you're my teammate and I got love for you, man. You know, yeah, yeah, ha ha. But hey, you know, we got work to do, man. So you are extremely right. When cats start getting cut, Yeah, man, cats get a little quiet, man. Also, man, somebody crapped in the porta potty, man. I just wanted to say that, man. You don't do that. You do not crap in the porta potty. And that was funny because one of the players called him out, man. I guarantee you said, man, somebody in the HBO Hard Knocks crew crapped in the porta potty. Yeah, they the ones crapped in the porta potty because players know not to do that, man. That's straight violation. Also, violation, Isaac. Jalen Ramsey, man, I like this part of Hard Knocks as well, man. They show him doing a Zoom interview with some reporters, and they're asking Jalen about his contract situation. He gives them an answer. You know, I'm letting the team and let my agent handle that. But they kept pressing him, kept asking him the same question over and over and over again. So he got pissed, and rightfully so. And he walked off. Rams communication people, media communication people got him to come back and finish it. But Jalen, understand, man. You're a young fella, but what they're doing, man, all they wanted to do, they knew you were not going to answer that. They just want a soundbite from you, man. So don't give them that. When you came back, he gave him a great soundbite. He gave him a lot to talk about. But if he would have just pressed it and stayed with what he was talking about, he would have seen that, okay, I see what you all are doing, man. You all just trying to piss me off and trying to get a soundbite. So I ain't going to give it to you. But Jalen Ramsey, man, we talked about it a little bit. Dude's going to get paid, Isaac.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, he has, as far as media relations, Mr. Artis Twyman, who's the head of that department there with the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, I think he has a great guy to really kind of remind him, you know, what the media's job is, what we do from a media standpoint, because, you know, we do want sound bites. We do want guys to kind of get uncomfortable so they can really say what's on their heart. I mean, so, you know, training camp is a lot more than just X's and O's, guys getting physically ready to play football. It also has to do with, you know, your media obligations and being able to respond to pressing questions. So I think it's just another learning experience for Jalen. And he's mentioned that he wants to be a leader on the team. And I think he's in a position to be one of the main focal leaders on the team. So, you know, just another learning experience from him. I think he'll end up getting paid before the start of the season, which will be great for him, be great for the Los Angeles Rams to kind of solidify and hold on to one of the better cornerbacks in this league. So just another learning moment. And even Mr. Dante Dion can learn from Jalen from this aspect. So I'm sure it'll be discussed in the locker room amongst those guys and just take the positives from it, man, and move forward and be better the next time.
Exactly, man. And Jalen, man, yeah, he of course he's going to get paid, man. He should get at least $20 million a season, man, because he is the best cornerback, in my opinion, in all of the NFL. But, Isaac, you're a receiver, man, looking at Jalen. I'm looking at him, man. I know why my man is so good. First of all, he has the height. He's 6'1". That's big for a cornerback. He got those long-ass arms, man, so he can make up space. Even if he's not right there tit-for-tat with you, he has such long arms, he can get up and deflect the ball. He can pick it off. He can put it in your face. He can distract you from getting it. And he has great feet. He almost has feet like a running back. But then he got the hips like a cornerback, which he is. But then, you know, he has the height and all that. Then he'll strike you like a safety. So it's really not fair to call him a cornerback. He's just a defensive backfield specialist is what I call him, man, because he can pretty much play any position out there, man. And my man is absolutely outstanding at what he does, and he is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL, because not only, like I said, not only in the cornerback position, but just being a defensive back in the first place. Now, you being a receiver, you facing Jalen Ramsey, man, how do you attack him, man? Because as you see, man, my man is a tough guard.
Well, to be honest, I think, you know, Jalen, he has what every great player needs to be a superstar in this league. And we're talking about, you know, what's going on between his ears, man, the confidence that he has. I mean, he's a confident player. He has a self-belief within himself that he is the best. And, you know, like we mentioned on this show many times before, he asked for the assignment of covering the other team's best wide receiver. And, you know, there's not a lot of guys who will flop from side to side in the league, and they consider themselves the best. But, you know, as far as Jalen is concerned, you know, he'll go from slot. He'll go from left to the right. He'll follow a guy all over the field and take the full responsibility of X-ing out, you know, one of the main weapons of a team's offense. So just that part of it, Doc, being willing to follow a guy all over the field, man, it kind of sets apart the good cornerbacks in the elite cornerback. So he's definitely one of those elite guys. And you know, if I were facing him, you know, I have to be real particular. I have to watch a lot of film, pick up some tendencies, making sure that I don't give anything away as far as my body language and going up against them. And it'll be a tough call, but, man, it'd definitely be a good matchup.
But you'll be a tough guard as well, man. Jaden is good, man. But, yeah, hey, man, you're one of the best to ever do it, man. Also, I think somebody who can be one of the best to ever do it, man, Jared Goff, man. Young fella, man, has done some great things since he's been there other than, you know, struggling that first season under Jeff Fisher. But we just going to forget about that altogether, man. But anyway, since Sean McVay has gotten there, man, Goff putting up huge numbers, man, leading the Rams to a Super Bowl appearance, NFC Championship. But, I mean, when they talk about, you know, some of the best quarterbacks in NFL, man, they rarely talk about Jared Goff, man. I know he doesn't have this big personality, man, and he's not extremely athletic, but he is athletic. But he's not extremely athletic as some of these quarterbacks that he may be compared to, like Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson, guys like that, man, and even Aaron Rodgers. But Jared Goff is a very, very good quarterback, man, with all the potential to be an extremely great quarterback. Why you think analysts and other fans and other people kind of hate on Jared, man, and you don't really hear his name when they talk about great quarterbacks? You don't even really hear his name too much when they talk about good young quarterbacks. Why you think that is, bro?
Well, Doc, let's be real. I think, you know, when it comes to being an elite quarterback in this league, you know, there's a lot of characteristics that you have to have. I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned Coach Fisher. When Coach Fisher was leading the charge with the Rams in St. Louis and we drafted Jared Goff, you know, his first couple appearances just weren't that great. Let's be honest about that. So then you get a young guy like Sean McVay to come in and you mesh the two together. And McVay has that ability to pull out those seeds of greatness that are in players. And we saw that with Jared Goff. He had the ability to make some plays down the field. I think his confidence levels start to go up. It start to skyrocket. So I think it's in a place where guys who have football eyes really want Jared Goff to be great within himself or be able to beat teams, you know, with his arm and not really rely on a running game. But I think he's shown that in spots. I think when he starts to do that more consistently, he'll be one of those guys that are mentioned in that upper echelon of elite quarterbacks. I think he's well on his way. I think, when I see his approach and where he starts to galvanize guys as far as being a leader in the huddle, making sure, you know, the offensive linemen are taken care of, making sure that running game is where it should be. Guys are lined up where they should be. And just really taking control, putting his imprint on the offense. You know, you don't have to be this rah-rah guy outside of the building or on every media outlet just to be known as a great leader. But when you have the ability to put your stamp on the offense and guys within that locker room can respect you and get that respect and look to you to be a leader, I think that goes a long ways with the players. So I think everything is set up for Jared Goff to be this elite quarterback and within himself. I think the confidence is starting to grow. So I think he takes another step at being an elite quarterback and be mentioned with the guys like Mahomes and guys from other teams.
Now, Goff says he wants to have 3 1,000-yard receivers this season. 3 of them now, which he can because the Rams have the guys that can get it done. Robert Woods has had 1,000 yards or more receiving each of the past 2 seasons, so he's looking for 3 in a row. He can do it. Cooper Kupp had his first 1,000-yard receiving season last year, so, of course, he's extremely capable. But also, Josh Reynolds, he's capable. Rookie Van Jefferson, he's capable. And tight end Tyler Higbee, he's damn near and damn sure capable, but 3 1,000-yard receivers. Now, Isaac, now, is this realistic for this Rams team, and is this the best game plan in order to get us a Super Bowl ring?
Well, realistically, I mean, it can be done. I mean, we're in a passing league now. All of the rules, every rule that's being made is basically targeted towards the offense. And with the fantasy football era, I mean, a lot of people want to see that. Can we have 3 guys to accumulate 1,000 yards receiving? Of course. You mentioned Robert Woods. You mentioned Cooper Kupp. You mentioned some of the tight ends, Higbee and Everett. These guys can go for 1,000 yards each. So, but as far as the game plan, Doc, we talked about it early on in the season, man, about having and being committed to a running game.
Amen.
Make sure the running game is strong enough. So when you get to the point in a game where you need your 4-minute offense, you can hand that ball off to Henderson. You can hand that ball off to Cam Akers and go left, go right, and just make sure that clock is steady rolling. But to have three guys, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Should that be the game plan? I don't think it should be the game plan. But it makes a lot of people in that wide receiver room smile. In that tight end room, they're smiling because, you know, we want opportunities. We're competitors. We want the football. We want to make the big play. And we not only want at a minimum rate, but we want it maximized. We want it all the time. And that should be the mentality of a player, of a football player who desires to be great.
Now, it looks good and it sounds good, man. Look, we got 3 1,000-yard receivers, man. We got a quarterback, because if you got 3,000-yard receivers, that probably means quarterback has thrown for 4,300 yards. But only 5 teams in NFL history had 3 1,000-yard receivers. And guess what, Isaac? Not nary a one of them won a damn Super Bowl, man. So, no, there's not a good game plan for us. Now, 2008 Arizona Cardinals, 9-7. They had 3 1,000-yard receivers. Kurt Warner, your guy, tossing that thing. He had Larry Fitzgerald, won 4,000. Anquan Boldin, Steve Breston, won 4,000. But they lost in the Super Bowl. Leading rusher, your other guy, your Hall of Fame induction partner, Edgerrin James, they only have 514 yards rushing. He was the leading rusher for that, so we know how important it is for the Rams to run the ball. 2004, Indianapolis Colts, they won 12-4. Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Brandon Stokely each had 1,000-plus yards receiving. And guess what? They lost to the Patriots in the AFC playoffs. Leading rusher, your guy again, Edgerrin James, 1,548 yards, but he did have 1,000 yards, so that's a nice little game plan as far as Edgerrin still got his touches, still ran the rock, but that's the kind of offense the Colts played. But, hell, they didn't even make it to the AFC Championship game. 1995 Atlanta Falcons, they also went 9-7. Jeff George throwing the rock to Eric Metcalf, Terrence Mathis, and Bert Emanuel. They lost in a wild card game. Leading rusher, Craig Hayward, another 1,000-yard rusher. 1,000 yards on the ground, 3,000-yard receivers, but didn't mean a damn thing because they lost in the playoffs. 1989, Washington Redskins, 10-6. Mark Rippon throwing to Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, and Gary Clark. Them dudes were cold. Guess what? They didn't even make it to the damn playoffs, man. That leading rusher was Gerald Riggs, 834 yards. And then 1980, San Diego Chargers, they won 11-5. Dan Fouts throwing the rock to Kelly Winslow, John Jefferson, Charlie Joyner. They lost in the AFC Championship. Leading rusher, Chuck Muncy, he only has 659 yards. So, no, it's not a good game plan for us to win a Super Bowl championship, because we know the Rams' offense goes as that running game goes, and they have to run the football. So, I know, you know, Isaac, man, you all may be in the receiver room, man, getting all excited and stuff, man, but this ain't something that we need to be focused on, even though we do have the weapons to get it done. And it would look good, man. It would give a lot of people a lot of entertainment, because that's what throwing the ball around the place gives people. It gives a lot of entertainment, man. Has people calling people the greatest show on turf and stuff, man.
Well, you know, Doug, it's one thing to have the ability to do it, but actually implement it as a game plan. You know, I don't think it's the best plan, you know, to have long-term success, you know, when your aspirations are to go in and win a Super Bowl championship. I mean, definitely, man, we got to figure out a way to get this offensive lineman and these offensive linemen moving guys out of the way and get this running game going, man. It's of the utmost importance. And like I said, we talked about it on other shows, man, how it benefits, how a running game, a strong running game, benefits every aspect of football, from your special teams, from your defense, getting rest, and from your offense, man, and just being able to, you know, starting off, you know, first and 10, going from first and 10 to second and 5, man. These are manageable down in distances that makes it very easy for offensive coordinator to call games. So just coming in and having that mindset and letting Akers know that, man, we're going to give it to you. Letting Henderson know, listen, we're going to give you opportunities, man, to get behind this offensive line and keep this offense moving. So just having a strong running game is of utmost importance. Being able to have three wide receivers or three pass catchers with 1,000 receiving yards, man, would be great. Having that ability to do it, that means that you drafted well. You've assembled a team that from that standpoint, that's very good, athletic and make plays. But I don't think it's the right approach to take going into the season.
No, not at all, man. Like I said, man, I said it once, I said it twice, I said it three times, I said it again. Last season when the Rams ran the ball 30 or more times, even though a lot of those games they only averaged 3 yards a carry, they were 7-0. We were 7-0. So being able to run that football, man, and being Jared Goff having the ability to use the play action, man, to kind of freeze those linebackers and freeze those cornerbacks and keep that safety where his ass is, so he can throw to the other side of the field, is extremely important, man, because you got to keep them honest with their running game, man. Other big news, man, out of college football is going to affect the NFL and also our Los Angeles Rams, man. Big Ten, Pac-12 says they would not play football this fall. They're going to try to play in the spring. Other conferences, man, the other big conferences, man, ACC, Big 12, and the SEC right now, they're still going to play. But, hey, NFL. They can snatch up that Saturday, man, so we can really get NFL games and Los Angeles Rams games Sunday, Saturday. You got them on Monday. You got them on Thursday night. So, hey, man, that Saturday, we may be able to get some Rams games, man. The NFL can take over that Saturday spot if college football refuses to play this season.
Well, I tell you what, Doc. It's kind of like, you know, the topic we just discussed. If we're gonna have three pass catchers with over 1,000 yards receiving versus a very limited running game, I mean, it doesn't really bode well. But I'd say this, man. You know, if the NFL decides to saturate the market, man. I mean, you have Monday Night Football, Sunday Football, Saturday Football. I mean, how much is too much? This is a sport where, you know, you have 5, 6, 7 days in between matchups, which, you know, adds a lot of drama to the matchups. When they come together on Sunday, when they come together on Monday night, or probably Thursday night, and it gives us fodder to talk about, Doc. I mean, it gives us an opportunity, you know, to gather more sponsors to listen about what we're going to say and how we're going to amp up some of these football games, man. But just with the Big Ten and with the Pac-12 opting out of the fall football season, you know, my heart goes out to the kids, man. They work very hard to be in a position. You know, some of those who are going to be seniors and guys who are eligible for the draft this coming up season, they work very hard to get in this position. So have this opportunity taken away from them. My heart goes out to them. But, you know, if I can give them any advice, I'd say just stay ready. Just make sure that, you know, take advantage of the opportunity that's been given to you as far as educational. Do all that you can to get your degree or start another degree. Start being a professional within your mindset. Stay in shape. Stay in the locker room. Stay in the gyms, man. Do what you got to do to be prepared. And if you're deciding to come out and become a professional after your junior year, I'm especially talking to you guys because you only have that last year film to go off, Doc. So it's gonna be a lot more work for the less needs of the world, the general managers, to kind of get a feel about who guys are and who they can be projected to be without having this season played. So there's a lot going on. Leave the Saturdays alone, man. I'm a college football fan. But it's a lot of work that's going to have to be done, man.
No doubt about it, man. And I'm like that, man. You know, also, you talk about oversaturation, man. You can, man, because that's almost like seeing a really, really extremely gorgeous, pretty girl. You see her the first time, you're like, man, she looks good. Then you go out the next day, you see her again, man, she looks good. You go out the next day, you see her again. Man, she looks. The next day, she look all right. You don't want to become normal. You don't want to become regular. So now, NFL, leave Saturdays alone. Don't oversaturate the market, man. Let people look forward to seeing you, to being with you, to spending time with you. We miss you. Let people miss you. If they don't miss you, hey man, your notoriety may go down. And also, speaking with those college athletes, if you're listening to us, remember now is the time to nurture yourself, because you should know right now that sports can be taken away from you at any moment and you're not going to always have it. So now is the time to get to know yourself, to find out and know that you're much more than an athlete, because this is the time football is taken away from you, fall sports. Get to know yourself and nurture another part of you, because eventually you're going to need that other part, because sports does not last forever. And unfortunately, this show doesn't last forever. It is coming to an end for today. But before we get up out of here, Isaac Bruce, Golden Jacket, the Golden Child, University of Memphis, Rams legend, football legend, and San Francisco 49ers legend. Anything to add, man?
Yeah, man. You know, a great show today, Doc. You know, I was excited about Hard Knocks. A little disappointed, man. Felt like the Chargers got a little bit more airtime.
Man, I was thinking the same thing. I just didn't bring it up, bro.
We need to flip that around, man. Come on. Number one, first of all, start off with the team that was last in the Super Bowl getting more airtime. Like, can we do that? We don't have to just keep taking it to Carson. You know what I mean? Carson, you know, I know Carson has a little small stadium over there with 35,000 people, and they're coming to SoFi now. But they're over there in Carson, but, man, just keep it in the real part of L.A., man. Come on, it's about the Rams, man.
Man, I was thinking the same thing. And I like Anthony Lynn. I really hadn't really seen him or heard him since, you know, paid any attention to him until Hard Knocks. But I like him. You know, I like his leadership, man. He's strong, man. He's smart. He's paid his dues, man. And he can barbecue a little bit too, man. So, and also I love the story how he met his wife, man. So, yeah, I love that. But, yeah, man, I said the same thing, man. Y'all not showing the Rams. It's like, is this the Los Angeles Chargers show? So I wasn't feeling that as well. So hopefully we'll get more Los Angeles Rams in upcoming Hard Knocks, because Hard Knocks, you got to understand, man, L.A. is the Rams. SoFi does belong to the Rams. I don't give a damn what the Chargers say. They're like little brothers. That's like the B team. So remember, always focus on the A team. But that's going to do it for this edition of Ramblings with Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. Until next week, God willing, we out.